Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
First of all, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are out there watching and worshiping with us today. Some of you this is your first Mother's Day, and so I pray that you are loved on and honored. Some of you this morning, today is maybe not as encouraging. Maybe you did not have a mom that was present, or you've lost your mother and you are grieving today. We want you to know that we are praying for you, and that we know that we have a God who meets and fills every void that we may have in our heart. And so I want to just pray right now for our moms, that God would just bless you today, and that he would meet us in our time in the Word this morning. So would you pray with me this morning? Father, we love you so much. And Lord, we thank you that you love us, and we are fully aware that the only reason we are breathing today is because of your good grace poured out on us. And so, Father, help us to be present this morning as we engage in worship to you, Lord. As we have just sang to you this morning, I pray that it was from hearts that truly desire to make much of you, Lord. Lord, as we enter into this time of the Word, I pray that, God, you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to be taught by you today and be transformed and changed by your word. And Lord, on this special Sunday, God, as we honor our moms, we just want to pause and just thank you for the gift of moms. Lord, they do so much that often goes unnoticed or unappreciated. Lord, you have truly given moms a sacrificial heart, and God, I can't think of anything that is more reflective of the gospel of Jesus than that. And so, God, we're just grateful today. Lord, I pray that you would bless all the moms out there today. And for those who are grieving and mourning this morning, Lord, I pray that you would comfort them as only you can. God, remind them of the hope that we have in Jesus. And Lord, that because of the gospel, we don't have to be separated from each other forever. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, it is truly a celebration, and I pray that you would just be honored and glorified through whatever we have to offer you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A couple things before we do get into the Word also. Next week, Lord willing and weather permitting, we will be worshiping together again, although it'll be outdoors at our home. So just be looking for information on that this week. On our Facebook page and through email, be sure to give you guys an update on where we are on that. But we need good weather. So, again, just be praying that the Lord would be gracious to us and give us some good weather that we can worship outdoors and be together again. Also, I just want to give a quick shout out to my brother David. Today is his birthday, David Seward. And so many of you know David. He's been coming to Pioneer for a while. He's a youngin', and so he's 26 today. But, brother, we want you to know we love you. Happy birthday to you. All right. So we are going into part two of our series, Let Us Pray. And this series is us seeking God and his word and his Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray, how to be a church that lives and depends on our relationship with God through prayer. And so I just want to stress again how vitally important it is for us as Pioneer Church to be a praying church, a church that is committed to prayer. And I don't know what this first week has looked like for you. I pray that you have jumped into the journey of intentionally seeking the Lord in the mornings. I pray that you're utilizing your little prayer journals. We're going to talk about those a little bit more in just a few minutes. But here's what I know. I know that we can be exposed to the truth of God's word. I know that we can know what we should do and then not implement it, and it doesn't benefit at all. And so I just want to just give you a challenge. Maybe you've gone throughout this past week, just like you have every other week, and you've prayed here and there. God's kind of gotten the time that you've had left over, and nothing's really different. Can I just encourage you to truly spend time and make the effort to seek God in prayer? He says, if you seek me, you'll find me, but we must seek him with all of our heart. And so I just want to encourage you to pray. Take what we learn on our Sunday morning gatherings, put it into practice, and watch what God will do. Also, I pray that you are able to watch our little midweek testimony. Thank you, Annie Kate, for your willingness to do that. We've got some more of those coming up, another one this week, and I know that you'll be encouraged by that. But I think it's very good for us to see one another as pioneer people and hear how God works through our journey with prayer, too. So I pray that you've been encouraged with that. And just be checking out our Facebook page this week. I've got some prayer prompts and things that I'm going to be sending out to help us implement what we are learning. So today we're going to move from why we should pray. That's what we talked about last week. To now, how do we pray? How do we spend time seeking God? And here's what I want you to do as we prepare our hearts for this message. Is I want you to begin to think about the influences in your life growing up concerning prayer. Who are some examples of people in your life who have really taught you what it means to pray? Now, I realize as I ask that, that may not necessarily be a good example. I was talking to my mom about this a few weeks ago, and she said that she can remember a man who used to come to her church when she was younger. He was, I don't know exactly what he was, but he was a well-respected Christian man, and so they'd always call on him to pray while he was in service. And mom said that it was the most long, drawn-out, boring prayers that she'd ever heard. It reminds me of a relative that lived out of state, and we used to have family reunions once a year, and he would show up for these family reunions, and for some reason, they would always ask him to pray. And as a kid, I hated that, because you can just guarantee all the food was going to be cold by the time he got done. And it wasn't that I regretted or resented his prayer, but it was very easy to tell he wasn't really talking to God. You know what I'm saying? You know, you've heard some people pray, and it sounds like God is in the room, right? That they are speaking directly to him. And then there's other folks who pray these lofty orations of prayer, and it sounds like they're preaching to you about prayer instead of actually talking to God. And it's really easy to tell, isn't it? It's easy to see those who use prayer as a means to exalt themselves, and those who truly understand what it means to connect to God in prayer. I have some other examples of people in my life who have greatly influenced me in prayer. There are two ladies that come to mind, older ladies, that God gave me the privilege of knowing several years ago, who had the ability to pray. And they were the kind of people that you just wanted to just pull up a chair beside, you know, and just say, teach me what you just done. You know, you have a connection with God that I so desperately desire. I learned what it meant to truly seek God from those sweet ladies. And so that's kind of the request that was made to Jesus that we're going to look at this morning. There were these disciples who followed Jesus around, and they watched his prayer life in such a way that they pulled up a chair, so to speak, and said, Jesus, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to pray like you just prayed. And so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures this week on how we pray properly. What are some things that we need to focus on as we go before God in prayer? And so this second part of our series, How to Pray, is going to take 2 weeks. So this week we're going to talk about how do we pray, what do we focus on, and next week we're going to dive into what it means to be persistent in prayer. And so I encourage you to keep that in mind as we go through our time today. So this morning, There are two passages of Scripture we're going to focus on. One is Matthew chapter 6, and the other one is Luke chapter 11. And these two passages parallel one another. They tell the same story. And so let's start with Luke chapter 11 and look at what is taking place. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" So here's the first thing I want you to notice about prayer, and it's this. Jesus prayed. I know that may shock you, that may be something you've never even thought about before, but it's a very important point for us starting off this morning, is to realize that the Son of God himself prayed. And that kind of begs the question, have you ever wondered why Jesus prayed? I mean, wasn't Jesus God in the flesh? Didn't he know everything? Wasn't he able to just kind of make stuff happen? Why did Jesus need to pray? Now, I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you this. I know that he prayed because he needed to. When you look at Jesus' work, when you look at all the power that he had, none of that took place apart from his communion with the Father. Before he fed the 5,000, he took the loaves and the fishes and he held them up to God. And what did he do? He prayed. Before he healed people, he looked up into heaven and he prayed. Jesus needed to pray. And here's why. Look at what Hebrews chapter 5 says. In the days of his flesh, now that's key. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And so here's what that means. When Jesus left the throne of heaven and came to earth, Philippians chapter 2 tells us he became like us. Now, he was divinely God, right? But the Bible says that he laid some of those attributes down so that he could take on flesh and become like us, the Bible says, in every way. And so part of that becoming like us in every way was that now his communication with the Father was through the avenue of prayer. Remember last week we talked about God gave us this avenue to communicate with him through prayer. It's how we connect with God. And Jesus was no different when he was here on earth. And so Jesus needed to pray because that is how he communed with the Father. But also I want you to look at how he prayed. The Bible says that he was a man of prayer. He was committed to seeking the Father. Listen to this, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark," I've already lost some of you right there, right? "While it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, a quiet place, and he prayed." You see, before Jesus ever engaged with any person, before he ever did any miracle, before he ever taught any word, he prayed. It was the first thing that he did. Hey, I'm not coming down on you this morning, but I want you to think about this. I wonder this morning if this would make a difference in our prayer life. Would our relationship with the Father be different if our seeking him was of that importance? If it was of the same level of importance as Jesus, where we don't eat breakfast first, we don't have our coffee first, we seek him in prayer first. The Bible says while it was still dark, before he did anything else, Jesus went and prayed. How about this one? Luke chapter 6, verse 12. "In these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." The story surrounding this passage is that he was about to call his 12 disciples. Huge decision. These were going to be the 12 men that took the gospel to the world, right? And so before that important decision, what did he do? He prayed. He sought God. And not just for a couple minutes. It wasn't just, God, give me wisdom as I make this decision. The Bible says that he sought God all night in prayer. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. When I look at the prayer life of Jesus and I compare it to mine, I get convicted. And here's why. If the Son of God, the one who was in nature by himself, God in the flesh, had to get up early and spend the first part of his day with God in prayer, if he looked at the decisions of his ministry with such importance that he was not going to make that decision apart from seeking God in prayer, how much more do you and me need to do that? We're not Jesus, right? And that's what I hear people say all the time. Well, I'm not Jesus, and so I can't pray like that. But we miss the point here of his humanity. He was like us in every way. So here's what that means. Everything that Jesus could do through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's told us that we can do as well. And so we can and should pray like Jesus. And the very fact that Jesus was committed to prayer was the reason for this message today. It was the reason the disciples asked him to pray or to teach them how to pray. It was probably one of their most important requests as his followers. There was a pastor several years ago by the name of D.L. Moody. He agreed with that statement. Listen to what he said. He said, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray." You see, there's no power in preaching apart from prayer. I don't pray at all like I should, but I can tell you this, before I stand before you, I have to bow before God. I have to bring everything that I am under his submission, and I have to confess to him, "Father, I don't have what it takes to take your word and communicate it to your people the way it should be without you." And so I can tell you this morning that the whole reason I can do what I do is because I pray. And so here's the thing. When disciples came to Jesus and they wanted to know, "Lord, teach us how to pray." We don't know exactly why it was, but we know that the disciples said, "John is teaching his disciples how to pray. And so, Lord, will you teach us how to pray?" They did not know how to pray like Jesus. And I think this is because they thought that there was some sort of special method to prayer. There was some special formula that they were supposed to remember in order to pray effectively. And you know, there's a lot of people in the world today who feel the same way. A lot of us don't pray because honestly, we don't know how to pray. There are other religions around the world today that if you don't pray a certain way, your prayers won't be heard. If you're a Muslim and you don't pray facing Mecca on your mat, they call it an abomination, right? Buddhists have to get to a sense of consciousness in their mind before their prayers are offered up. I think that's really funny that they want to achieve almost a certain nirvana over their conscience before they pray. Could you imagine praying for your anxieties like that? Could you imagine having to get to a place of complete calmness before you could pray for your anxieties? Thank God we don't have to do that. Thank God the Bible doesn't tell us that there is a magical formula or position for us to pray. But here's what it is. We have to pray. And we have to do it from a heart that's in the right place. Look at what Matthew chapter 6 says. Jesus says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." So it was a spectacle, kind of what we were talking about earlier. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And so Jesus is teaching us here that that the power of prayer is found in the relationship that we have between ourselves and God. Prayer is not something we do for show. It's not a way to express how spiritual we are. It is a very intimate thing between us and God. And I think that's why Jesus often went off alone to pray, because his power came from connecting and communing with God. There's another thing Jesus teaches us here in this passage about the effectiveness of prayer. It's not about a certain position of our body or words that we use, but it's rather the position and the condition of our hearts. Here's a key point I want you to remember this morning. The effectiveness of prayer is not based on the position of our bodies or the eloquence of our words, but on the position and condition of our heart before the Father. And we're going to see what that means here in just a minute. However, Jesus did teach his disciples a certain way to pray. And so we're going to get into this passage known as the Lord's Prayer. When I was growing up playing sports, for some reason my coaches always made us recite the Lord's Prayer before every game. I don't know why, because I didn't understand what it meant. Some of you grew up Catholic. I know some of your background is Catholic, and this is one of the many prayers that you would pray verbatim to God, right? But here's what Jesus wants us to know here. The words that he tells us to pray here, the power's not in the words. The power is not in the words, but rather on what those words get us to focus on. And I have three focuses this morning of effective prayer that Jesus teaches us. Now, these aren't the only focuses of prayer, okay? Next week, we're going to get into some more that are very important, but these are the three that we see outlined in the Lord teaching his disciples to pray. And let me just say this. You might want to write this on your outline somewhere, but you want to remember this. The order of these three focuses matters. It's very important, the order that Jesus teaches these disciples to pray. So here we go. Let's start with the first one. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 9. He says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Remember, the order is important. So he begins his teaching on prayer by first focusing on what? Our relationship with God. This is the first focus. Jesus is teaching us to pray by focusing on our relationship to the one we are praying to. If we're honest, a lot of us, when we go to God in prayer, this isn't the first thing we think about. We're so concentrating on what we need. Last week we talked about how we are needy people, right? And we have all these requests, things that we can't control. And so we go to God, and often, if we're not careful, we treat him like a genie. You know what I mean? We bow and we say, okay, God, I'm here. Now listen to what I've got to say. Here's what I need. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Bless me, bless me, bless me, right? That tends to be, unfortunately, what a lot of our prayer looks like. We skip over this focus of reminding ourselves who it is we are actually approaching in prayer. Folks, if we skip over this relationship, our prayers will be nothing but self-absorbed, self-seeking, and self-focused. But what we're going to see today is Jesus teaches us that prayer is not about us really at all. And so Jesus says, remember, our God is sovereign over all things, right? He said that just one verse ahead in verse 8. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. So your requests aren't the most important aspect or focus of your prayer. So what is? Our communion with him. Most of you know we have three boys. Hayden is 8, Gray is 4, and Brady just turned a year old. And Brady started to walk now. And so he's gotten very independent over the last couple of weeks. And he used to depend on us for everything, and he still depends on us a lot. But because he's walking and he's mobile, he's not crawling up in our lap and just wanting to love on us like he used to. And for Hayden, as an 8-year-old, that's even more rare. And Laura and I, our hearts yearn for our kids just to come and crawl up in our lap and not ask us for a snack or to tie their shoes. But they just want to love on us. You know, as a parent, how that makes you feel, right? Now, when our kids come to us and they say, "Mom, Dad, I have a need," being loving parents, we're going to do everything we can to meet that need that they have because we love them. But there's something very special about having our children's undivided attention, is it not? And this is what Jesus is trying to get across to us this morning. This is why it's the first focus of prayer, is he wants us to remember who we're coming to. Jesus says, pray like this, "Our Father." It's interesting. He's going to talk about the holiness of God in just a moment. But the first thing he wants us to remember is that he is our Father, our Dad. And he desires for us to come and to be with him. Listen to what David said in Psalm 27. It's one of my most favorite verses of Scripture. Psalm 27, verse 8. "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming." I am just moved to tears when I read that, because I'm reminded that the God of the universe wants to talk to me. I mean, I just want you to think about that for just a minute. Don't breeze over that. God wants to meet with you. He is excited when you climb up in his lap and say, "Dad, I just want to talk to you. My heart yearns to go and talk and meet with him." And that passage takes even more meaning when you understand the second part of what Jesus taught us here. Jesus says, you were to come to God not only as our Father, but we're also to remember who our Father is. Where does he say he resides? Our Father who is where? In heaven. The place we all desire to be. But here's what I want you to understand. Who are the people that are in heaven? Who are the only ones that can be in heaven? It's those who are righteous, those who are perfect. And so I'm reminded every time I fix my eyes on prayer that I am completely unworthy and unable to actually go before God who is in heaven on my own. Think about this for a minute. Our Father is holy and righteous. Jesus says, "Hallowed be your name." It's a verb that literally means to keep separate from every other thing. And so when we talk to God, when our focus is on God, he is in a category with no one or nobody else. That relationship is unlike any other relationship because he is holy and righteous and perfect and just, and I cannot get to him on my own. I'm reminded of my unworthiness every time I bow to my Father who is in heaven. And so how do I do that? It's only through my relationship with the Son. Because of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed me and covered me and who makes me worthy to stand before that Father who is holy at his throne in heaven. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16. "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And because of that, because we have that high priest, here's what we can do. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most." So here's the picture. Jesus says, when you pray, the first thing you're to do is to fix your heart and your mind on this truth that there is a God who is holy and righteous and just and who you cannot approach on your own, but he has given you me, your high priest, who stands between you and God, who intercedes on your behalf, who has made you righteous, who has made you worthy to be able to stand before God the Father and make you a prayer. So let's go back to Psalm 27 for just a minute. When David said, "My heart has heard you say, come seek my face, there should be this joy that floods my heart in being able to say, Lord, I am coming. I am coming to meet with you. And the only reason I can come is because you have given me a Jesus who died in my place. And I have a relationship with you because of him. And that's why you hear me pray a lot. Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus. I am thankful that he has saved me. But I am even more thankful that because he has saved me, I can be in a relationship with the King of the universe. Guys, we get to talk to the one who is in control of everything. And it's only because of our relationship with him. And so let me ask you this morning, when you think about that, when you think about the relationship you have with the Father and how unworthy you are to be able to pray, but yet he has fully invited you into that relationship with him, what should be our response? And here's what it is. The first thing our prayer should prompt us to do is to worship. Before we do anything else in our prayer, we should worship God through it. So let me ask you this morning, when is the last time you actually worshiped through your prayer? It's a heavy question. It's a serious question. When is the last time you bowed your head with this keen sense of awareness that God is holy and I'm not? And he has no obligation to hear me or to even receive me in. But he's given me that opportunity through Jesus. And when have you come before him and you have just said, Father, before I say anything else, I just want to tell you how worthy you are, and how grateful I am to be able to stand before you in amazement and worship. That is the first thing Jesus taught us about prayer. Can I tell you what happens when we do that? When I go to God and I push all of my stuff aside in order to focus on him first, here's what happens a lot of time. As I'm worshiping in prayer, I forget what I even came to pray for. And here's why. Because a lot of times, what I think I need, I don't really need when my perspective is shifted on him. And so the primary reason we should pray, the primary focus in our praying should not be us, but should be on our Heavenly Father. Number two, the next focus Jesus teaches us is found in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6. So he says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here's what he's saying. If you are God's people, then you have things to do for God's kingdom. Now, as Pioneer Church, we ought to be well aware of this because this is the main part of the vision of Pioneer Church, right? We are kingdom people with kingdom passions who are fulfilling Jesus' kingdom purpose. And so we know that we exist for the kingdom, right? That's not only where we're going to live one day with Jesus, but it's what we're representing and reflecting right here, right now on earth. And so the question is, where do we find Jesus' kingdom on earth? So when he prays, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, where do we find that? Well, the Bible teaches us it's found in his church, right? It's found in his people. We are the representation of his kingdom on earth. And so when Jesus prays, your kingdom come and your will be done, he is referring to the purpose that he has for his people. And so here's the second focus of our prayer. It's not on us and our request. It's on what he has for us to do. One commentator put it this way. He said, it has well been said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. Prayer is not telling God what we want and then selfishly enjoying it. Prayer is asking God to use us to accomplish what he wants so that his name is glorified. And so, after we focus on our relationship with God in prayer, the focus then turns to our seeking his will for us. And so here's the second point. Our focus turns to our responsibilities in God's kingdom. So first, we focus on the relationship we have with our Father, and then the focus of our prayer turns on what He has for us to do for His kingdom. And so here's my question for you this morning. When's the last time you've bowed before your Father in heaven and you fully focused on Him? Before you've opened your word to read the Bible, you've said, God, show me what you want me to know so that I can live the way you want me to live. Do you ask God to give you His eyes, His heart, His mind for His kingdom? You see, so often we get so focused in what we think we need, what we think is right, that we try to get Him to come over on our side, right? To play on our team. And Jesus says that's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is for us to understand the heart of our God. Let me give you another prayer of David from the Psalms that'll help us with this point. Psalm chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. David says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Notice what David is teaching us here. He's saying, I have a willing heart to hear from the Lord. He is seeking God's agenda. And so what does this do for us? This focus on prayer moves us into a position of submission. It leads our heart to submit to the will of God. And so I have a key question for you that I really want you to consider this morning. It's very important. Listen to what it is. Do I desire for God to hear from me more than I desire to hear from Him? Do I desire to hear from God more than I desire to talk to God? That's a very important question I want us to consider. Last week in our message, we talked about we struggle a bit with the fact that we don't hear God respond to us in our prayers, right? I talk to people all the time, and I wrestle with that I pray, and I just don't seem to hear God respond, and I wrestle with that, right? And this is one of the reasons why. I believe it's because our heart is not in a place of submission and openness before the Lord. George Mueller, many of you know who George Mueller is. He said one of the most difficult things of prayer was getting to a place of neutrality, meaning that you weren't trying to sway God one way or another, that you were able to really pray, your will be done. And that's where we are then able to hear from God, because our heart really wants to hear what His will is. And so for us this morning, maybe one of the issues is that we haven't quieted our heart enough in prayer to hear from God. And so Jesus teaches us here that it's about not only the relationship, but the things that He wants you to do. And in order for you to hear those, you've got to get to a place where you're willing to listen more than speak. Folks, that's my journey right now in prayer. I so desperately want to hear from God. I know the heavy weight of leading a church plant and how fragile it is and how inadequate I am. And I can't do it on my own, right? I can't do it apart from Jesus. But yet I go to Him with all these requests and I say, God, here's what I need from you. And yet I fail to stop and pause and say, Father, what do you want from me? And so my challenge this week is for us to find some time to be quiet in our prayer. To say, Father, what do you want to say to me? And then give Him the opportunity to speak. And so Jesus said there's a calm submission found in how we pray correctly to the Lord. And then finally, the last point, and we're done this morning. When we come to Him and focus on our relationship, and we get moved to this place of worship, and then we say, Father, speak to me, show me what my responsibilities are in your kingdom, and I'm at a place of submission, Jesus says, then and only then are we able to make our requests to God. Listen to what verses 11 through 13 say. He prays, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I said earlier a couple times, and I'll say it again, the importance of the progression of the teaching here, right? It's only after we focus on who God is and what He wants us to do that we are then able to make our requests before Him. And here's why. There's an important reason why. When my heart is moved to worship and my focus is on Him and what I can do to serve Him and His kingdom, then I'm able to prioritize my requests the right way. Let's just be real honest. There are some things that we pray for that we don't need to. There are some things that God has already promised us that we don't have to pray about. Isn't it interesting that He prays, give us this day our daily bread? I've always thought that was interesting because we live in a culture today where we get up in arms if we don't have our monthly bread or our yearly bread or our 10-year bread. And yet Jesus says, here's what you need to pray. Give us today. Give us today's bread. That's all we ask for. And we pray that from two places. There's a place of dependence, which is what this focus drives us to, right? When we pray focused on the right request, it leads us to depend on Him. But the second thing is with confidence, that we can trust Him with the deepest desires of our heart, but only when those desires have been vetted through the lenses of our worship and our commitment and submission to Him. Many of us quote the famous Psalm, Psalm 34. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Man, and we take that and we run with it, right? And we say, God, this is the desire of my heart and I'm praying in faith that you're going to give it to me. I need that new truck. And we don't get the new truck. And it's because we fail to remember the first part of the Psalm. Delight yourself in the Lord. Man, when He's the desire of your heart, you're going to get that desire. I want you to think about some things. In your prayer journal, I asked you last week to take that thing and write on the very first page some huge prayer needs that you have, things that maybe you've prayed for a long time, things that are just weighing heavily on your heart. And now here's what I want to ask you. In light of who God is and His glory and His invitation for you to come as a child, and in light of your submission to Him as His child, when you look at those requests, are they the requests that God really is calling you to pray for? Maybe they are. I believe most of them are. But I can tell you this. There are a lot of things that I thought I needed that I went to God to pray for, but as my heart shifted to focus on Him, I realized those things were not nearly as important as what I thought they were. As a matter of fact, there are some things that we pray for that we really don't realize, but if we knew that we were going to get them, they would actually pull us further away from God. I've had people ask me to pray about relationships that were so dishonoring to God. I've had people ask me to pray about jobs that were going to pull them away from their church and their family and the purpose that God had for them because they were going to make more money. And here's my question. Why would God do that? Why would God give you something that's going to hurt you in the long run? Next week, we're going to talk about that. When Jesus says, you children, if your children ask for a fish, why would you give them a snake? Some of us are asking for snakes and we don't realize it. But it's only through our proper perspective on who Jesus is, on who God is, and what He wants us to do, that we are then able to ask for the right things. And now here's the great news about asking for the right things. Look at this. 1 John 5. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, right? But it gets better from there. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Man, if we ask something according to His will, it is His delight to give us that. Look at this one, John 14, 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. So let's put those two verses together for just a second. We know that if we pray according to the will of God, He's going to answer it. But here's the question. What's the will of God? What are the things that are in His will? And John tells us, it's the things that glorify the Father. Not exalt you necessarily, not make you look better in this life, but it's the things that bring glory to God, specifically through the gospel display of Jesus in your life. So the things that the gospel does, the things that the gospel illuminates, the things that the gospel brings about in your life that glorifies God, you can guarantee that He's going to give you those things. Listen, God's not interested in exalting you for your sake. He is interested in exalting Himself and us benefiting from that. So here's what I would tell you. Man, if you're praying for that thing that's going to drive you further away from Him and that's going to make you look like the king of your own heart, He's not going to give you that. And you don't want Him to. But man, some of you, I know, are praying for the salvation of your spouse. Some of you are praying for your children to come to Christ. Keep praying. Keep asking. Because those are the things that bring glory to God. And He's told us He will answer those things gladly. So here's what I want you to know. God does not resent you asking. God wants you to ask. Next week, we're going to talk about how often we should ask, how we should seek Him, the persistence in that. But the key this morning and the focus that Jesus wants us to think about is what exactly are we asking Him for? If it's going to exalt Him, keep asking. And so these are the filters, the focuses rather, that He has called us to look at as we approach God in prayer. And so are you confident that you have a God who hears you when you pray this way and that He will answer those prayers? So as we close this morning, here's kind of some things I want you to understand. God is good. God wants to hear from you. He desires for you to meet with Him, but not just because you have an agenda. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to love on Him, and He wants to come and love on you, and He wants to commune and fellowship with you daily. And then He wants you to come saying, Father, what is Your will for me? He wants to answer that prayer. And then He wants to hear from your heart. But He wants to hear from a heart that is focused on Him and His kingdom. And so here's what I want to do. There's a couple things I want to focus on. I want to ask you to focus on this week as we seek to put this into practice, as we seek to apply this message. And this way of praying may be very new for you. It may be very different from what you're used to praying. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. First, I want to encourage you, maybe you're rushed during the week. You got kids and you're trying to get them wherever and you're trying to fix breakfast and you're trying to get out the door. Can I just encourage you? Will you get up 20 minutes early this week? Will you get up 20 minutes earlier than usual this week and fight the temptation to make prayer just this check that you fulfill in getting on with the rest of your day? Will you get up and pause and truly try to implement what we've heard this morning? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your prayer journals this week. And every day this week, I want you to begin your prayer time by doing this. I want you to write out as many characteristics about God as you can. Write out whatever comes to mind. You are holy. You are good. You are kind. Whatever comes to your mind, just sit there in your chair or wherever you are. Just close your eyes and say, God, who are You? And then write those things down. And just sit there long enough to let those things come to your mind. Spend some time thinking about the relationship that you have with Him. Resist the urge to begin to pray right then for the things that you don't have. And just let Him remind you of who He is. And then I want you to move into thanking Him for how grateful you are for the gospel. That the reason you can even pray to Him is because of Jesus. So just spend a couple minutes doing that, writing that down. And then I want you to begin to write down, God, what is your will for me? And just put a big question mark. Don't try to fill it in on your own. Write in your journal, what is your will for me? And then pray that. And then pause. And listen, we all have things we've got to do. And I'm not asking you to sit there all day. But here's what I do know. Martin Luther said this one time. Martin Luther said, I've got so much to do today that I cannot afford to spend any less than 3 hours in prayer. Think about the irony of that. Here's what he was saying. I got a lot to do, but none of it is as important as seeking my Father in prayer. So will you take that 20 minutes extra and say, God, I want to seek you for you. And then as you get to the request part, here's what I would encourage you to notice. Notice how different your requests will be this week than maybe how they are any other day. How different and how kingdom focused your prayers become when you fix your eyes and your heart on Him. But here's one more thing, and I'll encourage you with, you got to do it. We can talk about prayer all day. We can learn about prayer all day. But until we put ourselves in a place to where we let God show us by experiencing it, it won't make any difference. But here's what I've been praying for you. I've been praying that as God's people, you desire something more than where you are. And you desire to see the power of God come alive in your prayer. And so would you just seek this process out this week? Work on these three focuses. What I'm going to do just to kind of help you is each day I'm going to send you a psalm that kind of focuses on the attributes of God. And so this afternoon, I'll send you Psalm chapter 8. And so as you're opening your prayer journal tomorrow and you're writing out these characteristics, maybe you want to flip over to Psalm chapter 8 and just read some of the things that David says about God there and begin to fix your focus on those. And just watch what he does and how he speaks to you as he becomes the focus of your prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Father, as we, Lord, attempt to get more serious about our prayer and our life with you in prayer, God, I'm asking that where my words fall short, where my creativity falls short, that your Holy Spirit would come and take over. And God, we're not just asking to learn new things about prayer. We're desiring to be transformed in our minds, in our hearts. Lord, to be people who truly seek to do your will and who don't treat you as a genie to get what we think we need, but God, who surrender and submit our lives in worship to a king who has invited us into a relationship with him. So Lord, will you put us in the place this week so that we can do that. Give us a desire to get up earlier. Lord, in your grace, will you make provisions in our home this week to limit distractions, God? I know that we have an enemy who doesn't want this to happen. So, Lord, I just pray right now, would you go before us in the power of your Spirit and just make that time with you as intentional and as quiet as possible. And then, Lord, as we approach you, God, would you help us to just slow down before we make any requests? We would focus on your holiness and we would worship you and we would seek you and your will for us. And Lord, I can't wait to hear how you're working and going to, Lord, answer prayer and how you're going to change our lives and you're going to use your church to make a kingdom difference. And it's all because we have connected with you in this way. So Lord, would you just be glorified in what you lead us to do this week? And Father, will you just open our eyes to the greatness that your Son experienced as he communed with you in prayer? Lord, may we follow his pattern and become people who seek you with all our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Happy Mother's Day again. Enjoy your day and make much of Jesus wherever you go. God bless you.